You're about to hear Thought Leader Life with Mitchell Levy on the FIR Podcast Network.
Hi, this is Mitchell Levy, and welcome to episode 105 of Thought Leader Life. I have to tell you, it's still sort of fun to be able to say we're in triple digits. I'm excited about this month. We're closing the year with Stacey Feiner, who is the executive coach for the middle market at BDO. She has a PsyD, which is a psychology PhD, for all intents and purposes. And Stacey, I'm sure you can correct me on that. And this month, we are talking about driving culture in the mid-market. And so let me come back and say, with our fast-paced world, with things happening so quickly and so effortlessly, and companies turning on a dime, why are we focused on culture? Because old school culture sort of took years to roll out. This is something different, right?
Well, it's not so different. You know, there are universal truths about culture and about business and connection. But, you know, I think culture is really an exciting topic. It's really important. It's a hot topic these days, as is leadership. And yet, still, as many books has been written about it and as many times as we talk about it, people get the idea, they like the idea, but the hard part is feeling like you can influence culture or feeling as the business owner you can actually foster culture that you want. I think that's the glitch. It's not that people don't believe that culture matters. It's that people, business leaders, don't believe that they can actually foster the culture that they want. And that's the gap.
Ooh, that's an interesting aha moment there. So anyhow, welcome, Stacey. I'm glad to have you for the month. You have some fun guests coming on.
Yeah, I'm excited, and they are too.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. So let's just talk a little bit about you. What does an executive coach for the mid-market at a accounting firm, BDO, do?
Well, you know, and I'm an executive coach for the middle market. So my job is to help business owners peak perform. So to get out of their own way and peak perform. And there are two different ways that business owners find themselves needing a coach. One is they're hitting on all cylinders. They're peak performing. They're using their resources well. They're hitting the sweet spot in the market. You know, they're hitting all of their mark. The challenge for them is they're restless. They know they can be better. They want to be better tomorrow than they were today. And they're looking for a subtle new insight that will help them just shave a second off their time. So that's a very exciting kind of leader to work with. And the flip side, there are top performers who feel stuck. Somehow something that they want for themselves or for their business, they have hit a roadblock and it's immune to regular failure. And it's become worrisome to them. And so they need to dig deep to find out what ways they're thinking about something or what approach that they're taking that's not working anymore and find a new approach. So those are the two ways that I help business owners in executive coaching. But within management consulting, which is where I live, we're the branch of professional services that is specifically designed to increase profitable revenue, optimize talent, and enhance value.
There you go. See, you know these things, right? It's thought leaders. It's really important. You know the top three things you do, you echo them off that when you get a chance to share it, you do. And you did. So thank you.
You're welcome.
So when you talk about culture, I think in the conversations we've had in prepping for the show, you've sort of converted me on the importance of a living, breathing culture. Maybe you could talk a little bit more about that and what it might mean for a mid-sized. Oh, and first start with the definition of a mid-sized company and then talk about what culture is going to do for them.
Well, there are kind of two ways to think about defining middle market. There is a general way, which is the middle market in the United States is revenue of $10 million to $1 billion. That's a big spread.
Oh, for those listening on the radio, my arms are spread super wide. Okay.
Anything under $10 million is a small market enterprise, and anything over a billion is a large cap company. Often in that space, you're working with, we're talking about public companies. In my area of expertise, the work that I like to do is I work with owner-operated, privately held, closely held, family-owned businesses. In this space of privately owned companies, there is owner-operated, there's private equity, there's employee ownership. There are a number of different kinds of businesses within that space. When a company moves from owner-operated to professionally managed, still could be privately owned, but it's being managed professionally. So I really, my space is mostly owner-operated companies.
Got it. Makes sense. So what happens when you tell them originally, you sit down with them, they know they need you, you get to talk to them, and one of the first words that come out is that word culture. How do they react? And then how do you turn them into saying, oh, this is interesting?
I don't know. Well, I think, you know, if culture is the first word that we're talking about, it's kind of a jargon word now. And when words become overused, they lose their meaning.
By the way, I just so you know, I have that with the phrase thought leader. It yes. just means so many things. So what I'm doing now, just to cut off in a second, is what I'm saying is we can help you become a recognized expert in your space of your area of expertise. And some people will say, oh, that means thought leader. And you go, yep. And some people say, oh, recognized expert. I can do that. But yeah, culture means so many things. So
yeah, and it also has started to mean nothing. So I think the couple of ideas. One is I feel I have experienced business owners say on any number of occasion that if they could just solve their people problems, they could focus on generating revenue, developing new products, expanding into new cities or nations, beating out their competition, which is really what businesses want to do and they're built for. They don't want an internal struggle. The only thing they business owners want to worry about is the variables outside the company. So I think what I help business owners realize is that it is fundamentally their responsibility to create a community of people that are coming with purpose and meaning. And, sometimes I'll say to the business owner, you know, so if you're not going to develop the culture, who is? And it's not like business owners can look over their shoulder. There's nobody there. So the responsibility for developing culture is the business owners. And they don't have a lot of experience talking about things like what they believe about human nature. What they believe, how to define value. If you don't know how to define something and you don't know how to answer those questions, it's very hard to implement it. So the first line of business I have with the business owner is to help them answer those questions and to not leave them with rhetorical questions, but it's actually to do this, which is to answer the questions together. And that's very valuable to business owners.
Yeah.
One more thing, Mitchell.
Of course you can.
One other thing about this is there are really only maybe four for some people, eight for other business owners. There's just really a half dozen unequivocal expectations that business owners need to convey to their people. And if you think about running a family, in my family, the unequivocal expectations are when you cross the street, you have to look both ways.
Okay, got that.
Because that's unequivocal. There's no negotiation on that. You have to brush your teeth at night, and you have to brush your teeth in the morning. If you don't, I'll wake you up if your toothbrush is dry, and I'll call you in from school if you're at school. There are just six unequivocal expectations, and those are the ones that you expect people to live by, and those can be easily translated into business values. And when you communicate them to the people who are supposed to uphold them, then people can understand what needs to be upheld. Unequivocal expectations lead to conviction and execution.
You know, it's so funny. You're an even keel person because you go with 4, 6, 8. anytime I come up with a list, it's an odd number, 3, 5, 7. So when I was mentoring my son, who's now 17, when he was 2, I came up with 3 rules of business because I figured 3 is about the max I can address. So I like that as a boilerplate. Many companies actually do that as sort of part of culture. They print it on their badge. They print on the back of the badge of what the rules to live by are. But clearly, I don't know, that's something that doesn't sound, you were shaking your head. It didn't seem like that.
Well, first of all, I know it's boilerplate maybe from a concept perspective, but each business owner has their own set of unequivocal expectations. So it's by far, it is the only thing that is unique to the business owner. I mean, it's fundamentally unique to the business owner. Just like every family has its own personality, every business has its own culture. So I would say if the reason why culture breaks down is because there's some boilerplate list of values that the leader doesn't uphold.
Oh, yeah. I think you misinterpreted my word. In this case, I didn't mean boilerplate like generic boilerplate across the world. I meant boilerplate for the company. So because it really is about how the company wants to drive, but then they put it on the back of the card and they say, here are the values that we live by. That's all.
It's okay by me, but you have to live by them. It's not enough to have them on the card.
Gotcha. And so what we're doing this month is you're going to bring on 4 different companies and we're going to talk about the values they live by, I guess.
Yes. So I want you to ask me, how do you help business owners get those values to be lived by?
Okay. Sold. Well, let me ask you. So that's the question that I should have asked you that I didn't. So let me ask you that question. And then you should also, when you get to the end, how do people reach out to you? So how do you get business owners to live by those values, which are core to their nature, but they want to live by it and not only live by it, but share it with their employee base?
Thank you. I appreciate the question.
I lead the witness.
There is a methodology. Once business owners have an opportunity to really dissect and build and structure a vision and a story about what they want the experience in their company to be. And then we devise and design these unequivocal expectations. Then there's a process, it's called strategic talent management, that starts with how you hire people, how you develop them, and how you promote them or deploy them. That is one system. And a business owner's often approach talent recruiting or leadership development and performance management and succession planning as isolated topics. And these things are intricately and intimately tied together. You're thinking about succession planning and you're not upgrading your recruiting because you can't do good succession planning if you don't have solid recruiting, then you can't achieve your goal for good succession planning. And here's a little bit of a rub. Business owners will often think that recruiting is an expense, a necessary evil, and a cost. And they often put entry-level people in that space. And then over here, they have succession planning, which they think is a really big deal. And the board wants them to invest a lot of money in because, God forbid, somebody isn't available to run the company and pay the successor. These things are disconnected, and they're fundamentally tied together. So I think what business owners don't know is how these things are tied together and how to build a system that facilitates at each part of the talent optimization process their specific values.
You know, every time I talk to you, I learn something new. Thank you so much. So if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way they can do that?
Well, I can obviously be found on LinkedIn. I can be found on my website, which is stacyfiner.com. you can call me at 216-315-3155. I'm always happy to talk shop and take your calls. And, you know, if the spirit moves you, you should make the call and we'll have a conversation just like this.
Nice. I actually like the world today where we actually are not afraid to give out our phone numbers because we're so busy and there's so much stuff going on. We're not getting inundated like we used to, although occasionally I get on a list I don't like. I want to thank Thinkahigh. What's going to happen out of this is we will be able, if you're watching this on YouTube or SlideShare, if you'd rather listen to it on a podcast, we're on the FIR network, Shell Holtz's program. We're also on iTunes, so you can pick us up there. We will put out a blog post, actually a couple different blog posts. And what I'm excited about for the month is to be able to have these five sessions, so the four interviews and the one we just did, and we pull out aha messages from every show we have. And so we'll create an aha book that will be easily shared on social media. And I think it's, I think this particular topic will lead to a number of unique aha messages. So I'm excited about that.
That's great.
Yeah. So for me, feel free to Google Mitchell Levy, go to thoughtleaderlife.com if you want to see all the different locations and things we're doing. If you have ideas for future months, want to be a co-host, certainly feel free to reach out and let me know. I am also on LinkedIn, by the way. Say, I am obviously on LinkedIn. This is not necessarily true for all family-owned businesses. So that's one thing that that's important, is to figure out what is – what. As the fax machine was new 30, 40 years ago and people needed that, websites were new 15, 20 years ago and people needed that. Today, what is the level of social media presence that a family-owned business should have? And so that'll be – we'll probably cover that in a couple of our sessions. Anyhow, Stacey, thanks for a fun 15 minutes. Look forward to the rest of the interviews this month.
Thanks. And I look forward to other people, folks that are listening today, joining those other calls.
All right. Hey, thanks, everybody. See you on the next episode of Thought Leader Life. Take care. Bye now.
You've been listening to FIR Presents Thought Leader Life with Mitchell Levy, brought to you in association with Lawrence Reagan Communications, serving communicators worldwide for more than 35 years. More information at www.reagan.com. In each episode, Mitchell interviews a thought leader or someone involved in thought leadership and shares best practices to tease out how to become an effective thought leader. Thought Leadership with Mitchell Levy is part of the FIR Podcast Network, a series of business podcasts founded by Neville Hobson and Shell Holtz. The anchor podcast in the network is the Hobson and Holtz Report, a weekly show presented since January 2005. For information about FIR, to see show notes for the podcasts, and to subscribe, visit www.forimmediatereleaseinc.biz. You can also subscribe via iTunes and other podcast directories. We welcome your comments about Thought Leadership with Mitchell Levy. Join the conversation in the FIR community on Google+. Look for the FIR podcast community or email us at FIRcomments@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.